What a better way to step into a message than to declare, Jesus, love has set me free. Hallelujah. We're going to step into the Word today, and I want to ask you if you'd like to follow along with a gospel reading from Mark chapter 2. I'm going to read through verses 1 to 12. Jesus heals a paralyzed man. Diving straight in today, so let's go for it. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man down on his mat, right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk?' So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up. He grabbed his mat and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed, and they praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this before." With an amazing speed, the news of the things Jesus was doing spread all across the country. News that this miracle-working teacher had come. And wherever he went, great crowds gathered. They wanted to see him heal the sick, cast out evil spirits, and do those miracle-working signs. The lead-up of the gospel to this point talks about the good news, that the good news is about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. The first chapter deals a little bit with the identity of who Jesus is. And as we step into chapter 2, we start to see the reason why he came. Look, the miracles, don't get me wrong, they're wonderful. They're things that drew people in, but there was something greater that people needed to experience and understand. And that was that they could enter the kingdom of God, that they could receive forgiveness, that there was an answer to the problem of sin in our hearts. So it was a spiritual lesson that lay behind these physical miracles that Jesus was performing. And in this chapter, as we continue on reading, there's three wonderful gifts that the Lord gives us when we come to him, when we put our trust in him: forgiveness, fulfillment, and freedom. We're going to focus in today on the forgiveness that's spoken about here in verses 1 to 12. See, hospitality was one of those basic laws of the East. People of Capernaum, they didn't wait for an invitation to come and see Jesus. They just simply came to his house, to the house in droves. And what this meant was that some of the truly needy people actually couldn't get close enough to Jesus to receive his help. But these four friends of the paralyzed man decided that they were going to do everything it took to get this man to Jesus. They had a faith and a trust that Jesus would heal him if they could just get him close enough. So they went about this plan to get him down right in front of Jesus, lowering through the roof. And this miracle gave Jesus that opportunity to teach us an important lesson about forgiveness. Today, I don't necessarily have 3 points for us to focus in on, but I'd like us to consider 2 things as we hear the word, as we take time to place ourselves within this story. Think about the different people there in the crowd, the 4 friends, the paralyzed man, the teachers of religious law and onlookers. And also consider the story through the eyes of Jesus. See, when he looked up, he saw the 4 friends. He saw their sick friend, and he saw their faith and their desperation to bring this man to him. See, back then the houses had flat roofs, and they were usually accessible by means of an outside stairway. It wouldn't have been difficult to remove the tiles and the grass and the stuff that made up the roof to make an opening large enough to lower the man down. But it did take determination. And we must admire the characteristics that these friends demonstrated, the qualities that we can think about and use for ourselves as guiding principles of how we might be fishers of men, disciples, followers of Jesus. For one thing, they were deeply concerned about their friend and they wanted to see him helped. They had faith to believe that Jesus could and would meet this man's need. They did not simply pray about it, but they put hands and feet to their prayers and they did something about it. And importantly, they did not permit the difficult circumstances to discourage them. I really hold on to that one because I think about what discourages me from sharing the good news, from bringing people to Jesus, for inviting them to hear the word. What obstacles do I need to overcome to push through that discouragement? See, they worked together and they dared to do something different. And they were blessed for their efforts. When the Lord looked down and saw this paralyzed man in front of him, he immediately went to the heart of this man's problem, sin. I do want to note here that not all sickness and ailment is caused by sin. And I'd reference John chapter 9 verses 1 to 3 where the disciples, they ask Jesus about a man who's been blind from birth. They say, why has this man been born blind? Was it his own sins or his parents' sins? And Jesus' reply was, it was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. Sometimes we ask ourselves that question, why? And for me, I find great comfort in understanding that through circumstances that may not have a great explanation, we can know that through our faith and the way that we respond, God's power can be demonstrated. Even before Jesus healed the man's body, he spoke to the peace to that man's heart, and he announced that his sins were forgiven. Love to declare today that forgiveness is the greatest miracle that Jesus ever performs. It meets the greatest need, it costs the greatest price, and it brings the greatest blessing and has the most lasting results. When Jesus looked around and he saw the critics and the people who'd come to spy on him, the religious leaders, they certainly had every right to investigate the ministry and the teachings of this new teacher. See, it was their responsibility to take care of the spiritual life of the nation. That was under their supervision. That was their responsibility. But we must consider that they could have come with a different approach to finding out who Jesus was and why he was there. Instead of coming with open minds and hearts seeking truth, they came with a critical mind, a questioning mind. And this scene here, very early on in the piece, begins that official opposition that ultimately led to their decision to seek the arrest and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When the Lord looked within these people, he saw that critical spirit in their hearts, and immediately he knew they were accusing him of blasphemy. After all, only God can forgive sins. And Jesus had told the paralytic man that his sins were forgiven. In other words, Jesus was claiming to be God. But in the next instant, he proved himself to be God by reading their hearts, telling them what they were thinking. And they wanted to reason with things about these things. So he gave them something to ponder. Which is easier, heal the man or tell them he's forgiven? Look, obviously it's easier to say your sins are forgiven because nobody can prove whether or not that forgiveness really took place. But to back up his words, Jesus immediately healed the man and sent him home. And the healing of this man's body was but an illustration and a demonstration of the healing of his soul. It's an important lesson that we take away today, because Jesus not only affirmed who he is as God's Son with his power and authority to forgive sins on earth, but he also took that opportunity to tell them of his true identity, Son of Man, a title that was spoken about throughout the Old Testament scriptures, something that these religious leaders should have been on the lookout for. Suppose these leaders had opened their hearts to the truth that day. What could have they learned? What can we learn from that today? Sin is like a sickness, and forgiveness is like having our health restored. It's not a new truth. It's been said throughout all of the Bible. But now, when Jesus has come and demonstrated that in front of their own eyes, and we see these things happening to this day, people who have encounters with Jesus open their hearts to receive his forgiveness, to receive his love. And that's where we see lives transformed, as is this paralyzed man. What an opportunity that these guys missed when they came to see Jesus with a critical spirit instead of with a repentant heart. And how easily we can do that on a day-to-day basis when we miss that opportunity to bring whatever it is we're carrying to the Lord Jesus. Questioning, can this bring the change in my life that I need? Why should I tell the next person about my relationship with Jesus? That's mine, it's personal, but taking away that opportunity from someone else to experience that same healing, transformation, and love that we experienced when we met Lord Jesus. I want to encourage us today that the repentant heart, coming to Jesus with a repentant heart, not just in worship or in prayer, but in the way that we live our lives. See, we understand the term repentance to mean turning away from sin, regretting sin, and turning from it. It's related to repentance, but it's not the complete meaning of it. in the Bible, repentance means to change one's mind. And the Bible also tells us that a true repentance will result in a change of action, a change of behaviors, a change of attitude. And that's true transformation, a change of mind that results in a change of action. I don't know what you needed to hear or what you need to sit in within this story of Jesus healing this paralyzed man. Maybe you're facing your own battles, challenges that are paralyzing you with fear, worries, concerns, anxieties, I don't know. What do we need to do to get in front of Jesus and be released of this stuff? No more shackles. Freedom. Maybe we need to think about being one of those friends that desperately is not discouraged by bringing someone and their needs to Jesus. Maybe we need to go after those people in our life who are on our hearts, who we know desperately need a change, who need an encounter with Christ, and we can be that person to bring that invitation right to their doorstep. Maybe for us, we're questioning the power of God in our lives, having a critical look at why is this happening in my life? Why aren't things going the way I want it to be? Instead of trusting in and putting our faith in God's plan for our life. Maybe we're the healed and restored paralyzed person picking up their mat and running home in joyous celebration. And I pray as we take the time to reflect on these things this morning, to take that opportunity to worship and to question our own hearts, to bring them before the Lord. I pray that each person here would truly surrender their pride if it's that critical heart and spirit that we're living in our lives today. Let's take time to do business with God, to work through a true repentance that not only asks forgiveness and turns away from sins, but brings about a change of action as we step into our week ahead. I thank you for that opportunity to share God's word with you today. It's a great honor and blessing, and I pray as that it's been for me confronting, challenging, convicting to go after those people that are on our hearts, to surrender my heart to the will of God and to step into his work this week. May God bless you each in Jesus' name, and thank you as we invite the band forward to pray and minister to us in worship.